joined.
Rathman
has joined. Has joined.
Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov.
Are you the first?
No. Thought I heard Jasmine. Haven't heard from her in a long time.
Kodesh Tov.
Bracha.
Jasmine.
Has joined.
Kodesh Tov. Kodesh Tov. Kodesh Tov.
Good to hear you all.
It has been a while since we heard from
it him. Is.
Ever since last month, we heard from Jasmine, or the month before.
I guess before Rosh Hashanah or something like that.
Yes, exactly. So let us begin, because we have a lot of material to discuss today. So we will start with a L'shem Yichud, followed by the connection to certainty, and then we will be reading from the Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan 5781. And you will find that handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. Excuse me. You will find that on the Unique Astrological Times link underneath the page, underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. When the landing page, Unique Astrological Times landing page, opens up, scroll down to Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan and click on the link for the year 5781. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Le'akda L'shem Yudhe Bavate Le'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'sok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Penenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Penenehu. A connection to certainty is the verse that we read from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parasha Yitro. It's called Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Tar Tane Nand Kudsha Barichu Koma David Le'ela Witata. Kolayu kishot biovada dikshot veleid lach mila bialma divaye barnash vedach yaleya mineya ulan haga veya kalana dehakuru ovada dikshot inun wikolayt sturich bialma. you'll notice if you scroll down from the top about a half inch of the blog for Cheshvan 5781, you'll notice that it starts out with a discussion of astrology from the year 5779. And you'll notice that it starts from a discussion about the energy of Cheshvan from 5780. But we're in the year 5781. Generally, each month I do add things to the previous year. I didn't this year because I wanted to express it directly in this recording. I did my analysis of what the energy of the year 5781 is. And you've heard it before. It's a recording in on our recordings links page. And I determined, based on my understanding of the name of the year, Tav Shin Pei Aleph, that this was the year and is the year of redemption, providing the children of Israel are prepared and ready for that redemption. A week or so before Rosh Hashanah, I saw a YouTube video about a Bible code that was revealed. That Bible code said, this is the year of redemption. I didn't feel vindicated because I know the truth about the Bible codes. They demonstrate every possible world
has joined.
Every possible world, every possible outcome is expressed as a Bible code because that's what the Torah is, the blueprint of creation. And so during Sukkot, there was a new Bible code revealed, and I saw that YouTube video, and it said that because there was insufficient people living in Israel doing teshuvah, that the energy of redemption was no longer available, which is the truth. They're both true because they're both possibilities. And that's really what we're going to discover is the energy of Cheshvan. Which way things manifest depends on you. So I am going to start reading with the energy of last year, the entry about Cheshvan for 5780, because that energy is still there. It never disappears. Just like we say every year, every day, or as many days as I can able to, the energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. And we all hope that the Abrahamic treaties will be the beginning of that peace. But let us truly understand what the month of Cheshvan is all about. We study Hebrew astrology. But it's not telling us the future. It's explaining the influences. But free will is never taken away because of astrological influences. It just moves you around the globe. It moves you to be with people that you have a tikkun with. So you can again exercise your free will and either correct that tikkun or continue along the life that last lifetime you continued your tikkun with that person, that soul. Teshvan is one of the strangest months of the whole year. Its name is actually Marcheshvan. Why has it been given this adjective, Mar, which means bitter? Why would a month be called bitter? Why is it the name added to the name of the Cheshvan? It's Mar. The adjective takes away a little bit of your free will. Why? Because you're already induced to mentally to expect bitterness. One of the reasons given to be called bitter is that there are no holidays in Cheshvan, and therefore it's bitter. And another is that the flood of Noah starts on the 17th of Cheshvan, and that clearly was a bitter event. Or was it a bitter event? And the cleansing that it represents was really a joyful event. After all, next Shabbat, we're going to read the Parasha of Noah. And I point your attention to the fact that the flood came from the name of Hashem. Hashem, not Elohim. It's not an act of judgment. It's an act of loving kindness. But if you ask most people, they will tell you that Cheshvan is always a very difficult month. And this is usually true. It's true for most people. But it does not need to be so. So how can we make this month a sweet month? First of all, Cheshvan is one of the most powerful months of the year. In fact, Cheshvan is most notable, probably the loftiest of all the months. There is more energy in this month than in any of the months. The prophecy says that the third temple will manifest in Cheshvan. The first temple was dedicated by King Solomon in Cheshvan. To understand Cheshvan, we need to go back to Tishrei. Tishrei is the most spiritual month of the year with all of the holidays. We are able to tap straight into the Sefirah of Bina that whole month. The problem is that Tishrei is only potential. For example, Sukkot is all about accumulating your surrounding and the inner light for the whole year. One rabbi said it is like winding a watch and then letting it unwind the whole year. If Tishrei is all about potential, Cheshvan is all about starting to manifest that potential. The problem is that the holidays in Tishrei are very long, and then when they are finished, most people just want to rest and take a break. This is the reason that Cheshvan becomes bitter. In Tishrei, people are davening a lot, giving tzedakah, sitting in the sukkah, and generally doing a lot more mitzvot than normal. To manifest this energy, we have to keep up that pace from Tishrei. We are on such a high level after all the holidays that a fall can be very steep. We're looking for a soft landing. Have you ever asked the question why the last prayer that we say on every prayer, every morning prayer, every afternoon prayer, every evening prayer, we say the same thing? Naturally, my memory has given out, so we all will remember what that prayer is if and when during this Rosh Chodesh event I remember it, and all of you may remember it on your own. But it's always the same prayer, because that prayer provides us a soft landing. And if you do not have a process to have a soft landing, you have a long spiritual fall from Tishrei to Cheshvan. Why? If we stop doing the spiritual work that we started in Tishrei, then Cheshvan is a long fall, a bitter fall. Yet if you change the letters of Mar, Mem Resh, into a different order, the opposite order, you turn the letters around, it becomes Ram, which translates as elevated. Resh first, and then the Mem. Elevated is head of water. Hashem is watching us, waiting and hoping to see if we keep our promises to change, to meet the promises and the vows that we made in Tishrei. Cheshvan is a month of extremes. Either it is bitter or it is elevated. There is no room in between. This is the secret of this month. Keep up with all the mitzvot from Tishrei. And I guarantee that Cheshvan will be a very elevated month, moving you into Kislev and a connection to the Organuz, the hidden light, the light from the first day of creation that was hidden away for the righteous. Keep the excitement of Tishrei going. Cheshvan has the most energy of all the months, and the third temple will be dedicated in Cheshvan. Remember, in Tishrei, 5780, last Rosh Hashanah, not last month, the year before, 800 men from the tribe of Levi sang songs, psalms from the biblical times on the Holy Mount above the Western Wall. And this was the first time in approximately 2,000 years. They didn't do it this year, 5781, because of the pandemic, because of a lockdown in Israel. What was the lockdown in Israel about? You may think it was because of the pandemic, because of the virus. But it's really a conflict within the children of Israel that has been going on since the beginning of the redemption, that first redemption. It's a conflict between the Erev Rav, the souls that left,
has joined,
took out of Egypt with the children of Israel, and the children of Israel. And over the centuries, those souls have reincarnated within the Jewish world, within the 12 tribes, 10 of which are missing, 10 of which are concealed, not missing. I'm continuing to read. As mentioned above, the great flood, Noah's flood, started on the 17th of the month. Some say that the month is named Bitter or Mar because of the flood. The question we need to ask is, there have been many, many disasters throughout history. So why is this one singled out? Why was water used to destroy the world? The internal energy of water is chesed, loving kindness. Some people confuse it and say it's mercy, and there's a significant difference. But I'm not going to go into this difference. But it's something to contemplate during Cheshvan. Water always flows to the lowest ground because its energy is sharing. It's looking to share more and always flowing downwards. Seawater is also a very good conductor of electricity, and the body and most foods are made mostly of water. The fetus is also surrounded by amniotic fluid, which is 98% water. And I will add one other item that has no proof that I have seen, but if you understand that our bodies are composed of salt water, not the same salt concentration as the sea, but simply more salt than is in saltless water. When you understand that, and you realize that every time there has been a technological increase in the last 150 years, that technological increase, development, has intensified the energy of the electromagnetic spectrum. So without going into details, I will just mention a few. There was a pandemic in 1919, but that was the time of the development of radar. Or no, that wasn't radar. It was the development of something other else. The electrical band, radio waves were being developed and utilized and sent into the ether, sent into the atmosphere. And radar was developed just prior to World War II, and there were pandemics at that time. There was all kinds of diseases running rampant through the world. And if you go on, you will see every time there's been a pandemic, it's been associated with an increase in the intensity or the utilization of the electromagnetic spectrum. That cannot be proved. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a theory. It may be a conspiracy theory. One day we will know the truth, if it's true or if it's not. I'm continuing to read because the essence of each month is a spiritual mikvah, a different aspect that needs to be cleansed. In Judaism, there is something called a mikvah, a ritual bath. After a woman has had her menstrual cycle, it is a requirement for her to go and dip in the mikvah. If she does not go to the mikvah, she is not allowed to go with her husband. I have to mention that this is a commentary by Keith. So some of these word choices are not word choices I would use. But there is truth, even if it is slanted to a religious mindset rather than a spiritual mindset. So please forgive me for that. Mikvah is most probably the most important mitzvah that a woman has. For men, the mikvah is not an obligation. But most Haredi, very religious men, go to the mikvah every morning before they pray. It is a big deal for them. One reason for men to do so is the attribute of modesty. Every ejaculation of sperm requires a cleansing of the mikvah. Since no one wants others to know when they have been with their wives, or chas v'shalom, they had a wet dream, they go to the mikvah every day. Some follow the teachings of the Ari to dip in the mikvah every 3 days. For some, they utilize some lenient views that, depending on the water flow, a modern shower suffices, providing the length exceeds 40 minutes. And I have recently seen a discussion that it also need to know the flow rate of your shower in order to determine exactly how many minutes is valid. For all techniques, there are meditations associated with the first two verses of the Ana B'Koach, in addition to the cleansing of the water. What is the secret of the mikvah? The mikvah creates a protection shield around the person and purifies them. When one goes under the water, metaphysically, they die. Humans cannot survive underwater. When this happens, all their negativity dies as well. And theoretically, we come up a new pure person. It is difficult to keep this state, but this is what happens. One can keep this state as long as they contemplate Hashem and the words of Torah. And this is the secret of the mikvah, the ability to purify oneself. With this in mind, we can start to understand why Hashem used water to destroy the world. Because he didn't destroy it, he cleansed it. Before the great flood, the world was full of sexual immorality and thievery. And the only way that Hashem could purify the world of this negativity was with the chesed, with the loving kindness of water. Scorpio, Cheshvan, is a water sign, but it is the left column of the three water signs. Hashem used the judgment of water as a means to cleanse the world. If Hashem has destroyed the world by some other means, it would not have been able to return the world to its originally pure state. And therefore, Cheshvan was the only month that Hashem could use. It was and is a big chesed. So in fact, the argument that Cheshvan is a negative month because of the flood is not valid. One negative aspect that must be dealt with from the act of the flood is some of this water arose from the earth with fire attached in its elevated boiling, temperature. This changed the merciful ways of water, since fire is judgment. The only way to restore water that humans consume is to say a blessing prior to consuming all forms of water. This includes ice and snow as well. It's interesting to note that Cheshvan is called the first Rosh Chodesh of the year, yet it is not. Tishrei is. But we don't say Chodesh Tov on the first of Tishrei. We say Shana Tovah. The first of Cheshvan is the most powerful day of the year, besides Shabbat and besides the holidays. Rosh Chodesh is the seed of a month, and the whole month is encapsulated in Rosh Chodesh. Being the first Rosh Chodesh of the year, there is a lot of energy to tap into. Take advantage of this day. It only comes around once a year. Learn a bit more Torah. Give more tzedakah. Do more good deeds. And realize, normally our Rosh Chodesh event on a two-day Rosh Chodesh is the evening of the first day. But this Rosh Chodesh, Cheshvan, requires that that Rosh Chodesh event take place the evening of the first day, so that we do not lose out on any of the energy potential that we can grasp, that we can bring into our life, that we can utilize to control the energy of the month. The tikkun, the correction of people born in Cheshvan, is that they love to control. They will do anything for people. They love to give the gifts. The problem is that they have a hidden agenda. They usually do these good deeds because they want people to owe them favors. Their tikkun is to do these deeds for Hashem and not for their calculations. They are also very aware of surroundings, their surroundings, and will notice specific details about people and places, yet they are very secretive and hide their actions. They make great detectives and great spies. The animal associated with this month is the scorpion. What is the characteristics of a scorpion? First, she has a very dangerous sting. And second, he is the only animal that will commit suicide if he is backed into a corner. For example, surrounded by fire. How does this apply to people? Scorpios can be very dangerous people if you get on their wrong side, especially the women born in this month. They have a big sting and they love revenge. They don't care if they hurt themselves as long as they get their revenge. Even if it's a form of suicide, Chas v'Shalom. This is another tikkun of people born in this month, to realize that everything is from Hashem and not to take things personally. The line of Abiyana Bakoach associated with this month is the third line. And the letters of the month are Dalet and Nun, which spells Din, which is judgment. Scorpio is a water sign, but the left column of the three water signs. Scorpios have a lot of energy. If you are interested in something, if they are interested in something, they go all the way. But if they are not that interested, it is very difficult for them to get excited about a project. Remember, even though these traits apply to people born in this month, everybody will have these tikkun, these challenges this month. There are no holidays in Cheshvan, but there are two yahrzeits in this month, which are very powerful. The first, on the 11th of Cheshvan, we have the yahrzeit of Rachel Imanu. We also have the Hilulah, the day of elevation, the day of joy of Methuselah. Methuselah is the longest living human being, 969 years. This day is a very powerful day, and we can get as much from this day as some holidays. Why? To give some background, Rachel died because of evil eye. Yaakov unknowingly put a curse on her when he said to Laban, "With whomever you find your gods, he shall not live." Yaakov did not know that Rachel had taken her father's idols, because she died from evil eye. She became the antidote to evil eye. By connecting to Rachel on her yahrzeit, we receive the powers to protect ourselves from this form of negativity. Also, Rachel sat on the idols. Some say it was during her nidah, thereby treating them with no respect, denigrating them. This is a big lesson for us. When we acknowledge negative things, we give them power. Step on negativity. Rachel is also the mother of Israel, and she will surely look after us if we do our spiritual work. When the first temple was destroyed, the Jews were being led into captivity. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu all prayed for the children of Israel going into captivity. Hashem did not accept their prayers. But when Rachel prayed for them, Hashem accepted her prayers and told her not to worry, they would return. We would return. In Genesis, Hashem remembered Rachel. What did Hashem remember? He remembered how Rachel gave her sister the signs she and Yaakov had agreed on so that she would not be embarrassed. Not only did she give Leah the signs, but she made Leah feel like Yaakov really wanted to marry her. Rachel went that extra mile, so much so that Leah once told Rachel, "You nearly took my husband." Yaakov and Rachel were soulmates from the time of creation. Yaakov loved Rachel deeply and was pained that he could not be buried with her. He knew that one day the children of Israel would pass her grave and she would pray for them, and Hashem would accept her prayers. She said to Hashem that just as she did not want to embarrass her sister, so too Hashem should not get upset that Bnei Yisrael once went against Hashem. When Hashem heard her words, he was comforted and said he would not forsake Bnei Yisrael. Don't take this lightly. Her yahrzeit is a very big segula for protection, and we can learn a lot from the midot, the character traits of Rachel. She was so selfless that she is the matriarch who is called the mother of Israel. Her son Yosef also was able to master the ability to get rid of the evil eye. We also have the yahrzeit of, well, let me talk about the Hilulah of Methuselah. Methuselah is the longest living man, as I said. By connecting to Methuselah on his yahrzeit, on his Hilulah, the 11th day of Cheshvan, and realizing that Hashem waited until the Shiva period, the 7 days of mourning, was over to start the flood, that connecting to that energy builds and strengthens your protection shield. Please join us on that 11th day of Cheshvan. We also have the yahrzeit of Rabbi Avraham Azulai on the 21st of Cheshvan. He was born in Morocco in 1570, and he died in Hebron, in Israel, in 1643. he was 73 years old. You know what 73 is? The gematria of Chachma, of wisdom. He was very well respected, and his most famous book is called Chesed L'Avraham, the mercy of Abraham, the loving kindness of Abraham. This is a very deep Kabbalistic book, and below is an extract from it that is on the Yeshem website. I'm not going to explain that. I'm going to skip that paragraph because of time considerations. But it actually just describes the power of the mikveh and the power of the year 2000 that transformed the statement that everyone has to die. Everyone does not have to die. But people have been dying for the last 20 years because of a lack of consciousness and knowledge. They just don't know. On Friday afternoon at noon, which is three quarters of the way through Friday, the day starts at night, and it's the year 5750, which is 1990. Excuse me. Yes, 1990. And Chesed Abraham, the book, explains that 5760 is the beginning of the year of Mashiach, the energy of Mashiach. So since the 2000, for the last 20 years, we have been in the period of the birth pangs of Mashiach. It is written in the Zohar that the Mashiach can come in two ways, either through mercy or through judgment. Chas v'shalom. If we look back at the last 20 years, we can see that the prophecy of Rabbi Azulai is starting to come true. There is terrible judgment and chaos in the world. With all the terrorism and wars going on and the pandemic, especially in the Middle East, and fluctuations in financial markets, people are more scared than ever. Also, the technology revolution has been taking place over these last 20 years. Who would have believed 20 years ago that we would be able to do with our phones what we can do today? This might seem a good thing, but it is actually destroying society. Families don't sit down to a meal and bond anymore. Everyone is off with their own form of screen. One rabbi called it the curse of the screens. What are the kids born today going to be like in 20 years from now? Only Hashem knows. The only way to protect ourselves is to have complete faith in Hashem and do His work. And don't give power to problems. They are not real. They are an illusion. They might look real, but they are an illusion. I guarantee it. If you keep up your work in Tishrei, Hashem will surely grant you a great month, a great year, a great decade, which will bring you your personal Mashiach. The year ahead is going to be filled with many challenges. Be strong and have complete trust, bitachon, and v'dai, certainty, in Hashem and in Hashem's mercy. Chesed. The bottom line is that this month is a bitter month, not because of the flood or because of no holidays. The sages are trying to teach us that there is so much energy in this month. If one doesn't harness it, if one doesn't have the vessel to harness it, it will burn you, and that makes it bitter. Remember, one of the traits of this month is it is extreme. There is no middle ground. Remember this, and keep on with your spiritual work and turn the month into an elevated month. We're going to skip the story about Rabbi Azulai. My friend Keith, who made this comment, he has another thought about Scorpio. I heard a lecture from Rabbi Alon Anava about Scorpio, and there is another way, a very interesting point he made about this month. Everything I have read about Scorpio says that it is the most powerful month. Why? I have never really had an answer until I heard this lecture. And let me explain. The tribe associated with Scorpio is Menashe. Menashe had a special quality. What was that? He did not complain when Yaakov blessed his younger brother Ephraim before him. He could have asserted his right of the firstborn and had that discussion with his grandfather. He did not. He didn't mind being second. He was mevater. He was comfortable with whatever happened. Understand that word, mevater, being comfortable with what happens. He recognized he's not in control of his life or his world. Circumstances happen, but he is in control of how he responds. This is the best message that anyone can learn. And when you act based upon that message, Cheshvan is elevated. You are elevated. And let me continue. Menashe accepted the being second without protest. And this is a very big midah, a character trait. Being mitvater reflects a profound understanding that Hashem is in charge of our lives. If something happens and a person is mitvater, he realizes that the situation is exactly the way Hashem wants it. Menashe understood this, and that is why he was quiet. Aaron, when informed of the death of Nadab and Abihu, his sons, was quiet because he was Mevater. His connection to Hashem was the same as Menashe. This is why Aaron is the high priest. Menashe understood this, and that is why he was quiet. There are many stories of people who gave in when they were right, and afterwards miracles happened for them, to them. Try this, you will be amazed at how it creates miracles. When a man gives in to his wife, he brings down all kinds of blessings on himself and his family. And also, when he gives in to others, he brings down blessings on himself and his family. To give some background, from the beginning of time, there was always strife between brothers, Cain and Abel, Shem and Japheth, against Ham, Yitzhak and Ishmael, Yaakov and Esau, Yosef and his brothers. This recurring theme is very important. because none of these brothers were able to do the tikkun, the correction of achdut, unification, unity. Unity is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. And Chazal, the sages, says that if the Jews were unified, they would bring the redemption immediately. It also says that if thieves are unified, they will be successful. This is the power of unity. This is why Hashem could not destroy the world with the generation of Babel, the generation of building a tower to have a war with Hashem, because the generation of Babel was unified. Wrong purpose, wrong goal, but unification, achdut, is a powerful tool, a powerful midah, a powerful goal. This is the power of unity. We also know that Hashem hates machlokets, arguments, more than anything. Does he like machlokets for the search of truth? Yes. But he prefers unity, even for a machloket, for the search of truth. When the children of Israel did the sin of the golden calf, and the spies, the manna still fell on those days. Yet when Korach had a machloket with Moshe, that day the manna did not fall. This tikkun, this correction, is one of the biggest tests in anybody and everybody's life, and one that is with us all the days of our life. When Yaakov crossed his hands and wanted to bless the younger ones first, Yosef told his father that this was wrong. Yosef thought that here we go again with the strife between the brothers, that there was not a sound out of Manasseh. In all the writings, there is not a word that he complained. This was Manasseh's special quality. He was mivater. Even though he was a big shot, he was Yosef's right-hand man. He did not mind being second. He was happy for his brother. When he kept quiet, he was able to accomplish the tikkun of unity. I'm going to stop here. Not truly stop here. We're almost out of time. And I'm not going to stop. I'm just letting you all know that it's going to be longer. But I want you to understand what this statement is. He was happy for his brother. The second temple was destroyed for tsunami. For hatred for no reason. What is hatred for no reason? We all know that jealousy is not a good trait, but it's a reason. It's a reason for hatred. We all know that every one of the arguments between the brothers has a reason. Call it sibling rivalry for nothing else. It has a reason. Manasseh was happy for his brother. The tikkun of hatred for no reason. The tikkun that we all have to do teshuvah for. There's a thought in all of our unconsciousness. When we hear about an earthquake in China, we're glad it's not us. And that's the thought in our unconscious. It's the first thought we have. That's the selfishness that's built into the human being because Adam and Chava ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Selfishness. Better me than you. The blessing should come to me and not you. But the message of Cheshvan, is if I can be happy that someone has something I do not, that I can be happy that they have received this thing, this energy, this message, if I can be happy that they have it, I can correct hatred for no reason. And I can be responsible for the building of the third temple. I can be responsible for the resurrection of the dead. I can be responsible for the third temple manifesting. Such a simple thing. It's always simple. All tikkunim are simple. They're just never easy. And the most difficult thing to do is to be happy, is to be metaver. I'm continuing. Later, we see with Moshe and Aaron that they perfected this tikkun. Moshe did not want to accept the job of the Redeemer because he was the younger, and Aaron was very happy for Moshe when he came to Egypt, even though he was the older brother. Their relationship was the perfect one, and that they cared more about the other than they cared about themselves. And this is an amazing chidush, an amazing new learning, new teaching. But why is unity so powerful? There are a few reasons, and they are all very powerful. We know that the sin of hatred for no reason was the cause of the second temple being destroyed, and also the reason we are still in Galut, in exile. The antidote for hatred for no reason is love for no reason. Havati now. Love for no reason comes about because there is unity between two parties. We know that the acronym for the first line of the prayer, Ana Bekoa, has a numerology of 506. Which is also the gematria of Ahavat Chinam, love for no reason. This acronym is a very powerful force and can be used in our everyday life to help relationships with difficult people. And we all have relationships with difficult people. From Menashe, we learned that when he didn't complain, he let go of his ego. Most people would be upset that they were passed over and would complain. From Menashe's action, we can use this to get rid of our ego. Humility is one of the most powerful character traits, and it connects to the Sephirah of Keter. Also, Rabbi Akiva told us that love thy neighbor is one of the most important laws in the Torah. And this is a very deep subject, but one of the teachings is that even though it is very difficult to love a stranger as much as your family, who are your closest neighbors? The idea is to want for your neighbor as much as you want for yourself. If you want $1 million, then you must want that same or even more for your neighbor. This is the power of Menashe. He was happy for his brother. From the above, we see that in this month, we have the ability to connect to all these forces. The unity, the love for no reason, to love thy neighbor as yourself, and humility. This is the power of this month. So much energy. It is said that the light of Cheshvan is the most authentic light. Being able to connect to these qualities makes this month the most powerful, and the reason the third temple will be dedicated in this month. Burn the mar, the bitterness, into sweetness, into the elevation, into Ram. I'm continuing to read, but not really read. You'll see some links under the section of 5776. I'm opening up the second link because it's important for us to know how to utilize the tools of the 72 name. Each month has a connection to 672 names. Actually 12, 6 from the 72 names of God and 6 from the 72 names that is revealed by the Tzaddikim. Name number 43 is connected to Cheshvan. Vav, Vav, Lamed. And this name connects to the essence of connecting to Hashem. This name is a good meditation as preparation for your prayers. The goal, the kavanah, the intention of praying is to connect to Hashem, is to unify with Hashem. The 43rd name from the Tzaddikim, Vav Yud Lamed. And this has a similar energy. Name number 44. Use this name for that purpose. Treat the 72 names as one whole. But then after you've unified all the names, you can utilize each individual name or even combinations of the names as tools for you to use to control your environment, to control the physical world. Name number 44, Yud Lamed He. This name connects to the essences of sweetening judgment. Essentially, this name brings the energy of loving kindness to transform judgment into justice. Surprising that the name of 44 from the Tzaddikim is exactly the same as 44 from the 72 names of God. It's not only the same name in the chart, it's in the same location of the chart. Contemplate that coincidence. Name number 45, Samach Aleph Lamed, is a name connecting to Zan, to prosperity, Zan, to Parnassah, the sustenance. And remember, sustenance is the fulfillment of every desire. And again, in the same location, the same name in the two charts. Here is a personal anecdote to explain these names. I had a roommate who was born on the 15th of Cheshvan. You want to know who that is? It's Keith. Early in his life, he was quite prosperous. While I was rooming with him, he was far from the idea of prosperous in the monetary sense. What we learn from this is that the energy of a particular name may be to provide the energy or to be the opposite of the energy. But we can also learn that the energy of how we define something like prosperous changes. If you asked Keith today, was he prosperous when he was younger? His answer is no. He was wealthy, but he was not prosperous. If you ask him if he's prosperous today, he will say yes. He has the connection to Hashem. Name number 46. Ayin Resh Yud. This is the energy of certainty. It also connects to Mashiach through its gematria being 280, the same gematria of the five final letters. And again, in the same location, and the same in the two charts is the same name. Contemplate these three coincidences. Name number 47, Ayin Shin Lamed. This name connects to the energy of global transformation. This represents the transformation of our physical world from one of chaos and correction into the world that we all dream about, known as the Mashiach and serenity, Olam Haba, the world that is coming. This transformation occurs when we change ourselves from reacting to chaos to having the characteristic of serenity, Mevater. The seventh, Ayin Aleph Lamed, is the 47th name of that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. And this name connects to the energy of wisdom of God, wisdom of Kel, of El. How does that happen? Because you can see El. The Ayin is your sight. Name number 48. Mem Yud Hey. This name connects to the energy of unity. The name translates as from Yah. Also, it represents the energy of the Torah, since these letters can be translated as the sea. Mem Tafhe, and this name is a vaccine to remove death from the physical world. Did you get a sense of the power of Cheshvan? So it is now time for our connection. A little late, but still, I hope you don't mind what we have been discussing. I hope you don't mind me sharing all of this particular information. If you are able to rise, please do so. As we say the Ana B'Koach together. Ana B'Koach Gedulat Yemincha Tatir Terura Aleph Bet Gimel Yutat Tzadi. This connects us to the phrase Ahavati Nam. connects us to the name of God, Bab Shin Resh. It connects us to Chesed, the loving kindness, to unconditional love, and to memories, the memories of our previous lives. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sadenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. These two words spell Prasatan, Parapsatan. They can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, small gates. And it reminds us to guard our gates, our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth, especially our mouth, as this is the entry point for the negative system. We are taught that sin crouches at the door, and this is explained that the negative system is waiting by the openings for its share of the energy, for the door to open so it can go in. And that's why you need to put guards on your gates to keep the negative system out. Nagibo Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The letters of the month of Keshvan is the letter Dalet that created the planet Mars, the planet of war, the planet of conflict. And the Nun, the letter of falling. Letters Dalet and Nun spell the word Din, judgment. Judgment leads you to conflict, and it leads you to spiritually falling. The permutation of the name of Hashem for the month of Cheshvan. Vav, hey, hey, yud, wah, hey, hey, yud, wah, hey, hey, yud. It's time to dance and sing with joy. Wah, hey, hey, yud, wah, hey, hey, yo, wah, hey. Hey. You cannot control the things that happen. You can only control your response. Wahe-he-yo, with Hashem's help, you will be happy. Whatever happens, wahe-he-yo, 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 wahe. Barchem tacharem, rachame sitchatcha, tamid gamlem. Tet Reish, Tzaditav Gimel. The sequence connects to the Sephirah of Netzach and its essence. Its essence of eternity. Being eternal. Do you want to live eternally? Chasin Kadosh, the road to Kha Naelatecha. Et Kufet, Et Nunayim. This sequence connects to the Sephirah of Hod and its essence of appreciation. To be Mivater means you have to appreciate what Hashem presents you. Whatever it is, positive, negative, neutral. You have to appreciate what Hashem presents you. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatecha Yud Gimelamet Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence connects to the Sephirah of Yesod and its essence of foundation, its essence of creativity, the essence of creation. Hashem created us to be a co-creator with Him, but we can only be co-creators when we have reached unity. And to reach unity requires mevater, serenity. Shavatenu kabel, ushmati akatenu, yodea ta'alumot, shinkufav, tzadiyuta. The first two letters have a gematria of 400. They're Shin and Kuf. 400 is the four worlds times 10 Sephirot within 10 Sephirot. The last four letters have the same gematria as the first six letters. The same as Ahavatinam. Excuse me, Ahavat. Nam, unconditional love. We learn that if you want to reach completion, which is the perfection of the four worlds, it requires us to inject unconditional love that, you have to be mevater. You have to be serene. You have to realize that everything that happens comes from Hashem. You can't control what happens, but you can control your reaction. You can use the tool of binding by striking. Always. But you have to practice that tool. You have to strengthen your connection to that tool. You have to unify that tool to who you are. The eighth verse of the Ana Bekoa, we say in a whisper. One final thought. This permutation of Hashem's name, Vav, Hey, Yud. We have 2 days to utilize that. Every time you say Hashem's name in your prayers, make the connection to Wah-Hey-Hey-Yo for the next 2 days, from tonight, tomorrow Sunday, tomorrow night, Monday, up until sundown. This is Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan for the year Tashin Hey Aleph. Hey Aleph spells the Hebrew word po, and its translation is here. Be in the here and now. Be serene. Be happy that your friend has what they have. Be happy with that, with you have what you have. The secret of prayer is, if you are happy with what you have, the chaos in your life, then you can ask for it to be removed. Be happy with what you have, then you can ask for more. Kodesh Tov to all. Does anyone have any questions?
No, sir.
Go ahead. Kodesh Tov. Kodesh Tov. Kodesh Tov to all.
Kodesh Tov.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom to all.